There are very few restrictions for subsistence smelt fishing, and if fishermen were told otherwise, specifically that they weren't allowed to use dip nets, they were likely told that incorrectly by authorities. But there are a few things that fishermen ought to keep in mind. Tim Sands is an area management biologist at the Fish and Game Office in Dillingham.
People are calling us to find out what the regulations are, and so that's kind of what I wanted to do, was just remind people that, like any subsistence fishing, you have to mark your net. That's the bottom line. First initial, last name, the name of the town you live in, and that's simply so that if there's some issue with your net, you can be contacted.
Sands says you can mark your net using the standard sign or put the information on your buoy. Technically, you don't need to mark your net if you stay on site the entire time your net is in the water, as many smelters do. And staying with the net helps to prevent the thing Fish and Game really wants to avoid, which is nets gone adrift, or ghost nets.
Subsistence nets are great and convenient, but they kill fish whether you tend them or not. So if you lose one, it could still kill fish for a long time to come, and nobody wants to waste fish like that.
Last week, one net did reportedly go adrift from its site on Kanakanak Beach. So Fish and Game says marking your net and making sure it stays well fastened are important regulations.
And the only other real important regulation is you can't block off more than 50% of a water body. So you can't string your net across the culvert and completely block the culvert to fish passage. You got to allow for other fish and other animals even to pass through the streams and creeks or wherever you're putting your net. You know, it's one thing if you're out on a Kanakanak Beach, but a lot of folks like Squaw Creek, and that's fine, but just don't block off more than half the creek.
Sands says that just like with salmon, making sure some smelt escape ensures good runs in years to come.
I think most people understand the idea that we want smelt for future generations. And if you block off the whole stream, you're blocking off the smelt that are going up there forever, you know? So I think most people would think it reasonable to take part of the stream width and catch what you catch there, and maybe you have to fish a little bit longer because you're not blocking off the whole stream. But like I said, we want fish around for the future, for the next generation of people.
One other quick note from Fish and Game is that if you opt to catch smelt with a rod and reel before it's ice fishing season, you would then need to have a sport fishing license. Otherwise, gill net, cast net, or dip net, the smelt are there for the taking, and so far it's been a pretty good fall season.
You know, the weather's been nice enough and it's not frozen up yet, so they're still readily available to harvest with a net because you're not having to dodge ice chunks that would tear your net out. So they're certainly pushing in. I know, you know, people have caught them in the boat harbor, along Kanakanak and Squaw Creek, I'm sure in the Wood River. So they're certainly there and available, and like you say, a different but good food, and there's no limit. You know, you catch whatever you need to take. Like I said, just don't block off the whole stream and mark your net.
The Fish and Game Office has a booklet on subsistence regulations if you'd like to get more information. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.